Welcome back, everybody. Dolphins preseason is underway, and 7-9 The Ticket has daily Finns camp reports with the latest news and information. Preseason reports on The Ticket are sponsored by Lexus of Pembroke Pines. Always an amazing deal. It's Toby, Leroy, and Beast here with you. We'll take you up until 10. Ira Windeman's going to join us later this hour. We'll talk to John Beeson in the 8 o'clock hour, a little Canes Gators with him. A lot of stuff going around the Dolphins yesterday, man. A lot of fodder's happening. You got playlists. You got an extension going on. Stephen Ross may or may not have been kicked off a committee. He hasn't had luck with committees. You guys remember the infamous bullying committee with Curtis Martin on it that never met once. Yep. By the way, it was good seeing Richie Incognito on Hard Knocks yesterday.
Oh,
him and Antonio Brown just chopping it up.
Really?
Yep.
Good times.
Just a couple of guys with crazy pasts. A
couple of vets.
Let's get the headlines.
This is WAXYAM South Miami and WSFSFM HD2 Miramar, a radio.com sports station.
What do you think is the percentage of segments Leroy has been here on time since we started in this new building?
One.
Today's been really bad. Today's an overload.
Well, he gets distracted so easily, and there's a lot of fodder going on between the five stations that are in this building about what happened. We have one bathroom. The one staller, the one bathroom,
yep,
for all of the jocks and on-air talent to use.
Someone blew
in
it
the
up.
Studio hallway. Someone killed it. So there's some accusations flying. There's some fodder. There's some investigatory work going on as to who may have done that.
Jesus.
Our bet's on Philip Seymour Hoffman, a.k.a. Biff.
I can see that. He looks like he ate hearty last night.
He is one of the producers on 560 The Joe. All right, we'll get to this real quick so we can get to the Dolphins stuff. The Marlins fell to the Braves last night 5-1. There was all sorts of shenanigans. We'll talk about that later, I'm sure. Our boy Birdie went deep. That was one positive spot. Caleb Smith on the hill tonight for the Fish. 720 is your first pitch. An odd occurrence yesterday, kind of related to the Marlins, and that is former Marlins second baseman Luis Castillo. Former MLB pitcher Octavio Dotel.
I don't believe it.
Were arrested for being a part of one of the biggest drug trafficking structures ever in the Caribbean, being a part of a gang.
This is bananas. He's one of the best Marlins of all time.
Yeah, this age, I don't know if he's Luis Castillo's age, but Darren Heitner, famous agent, he said that it's not true.
Castillo says it's not true. He's like, he's because I don't think they've arrested him yet. They're looking for Luis Castillo. I don't know where he is. I don't even, maybe he's in America right now and that's why they can't find him. I don't know. But he was saying only God knows the truth on Instagram, which I found out yesterday. Luis Castillo has an Instagram.
Yeah. Also, wrapped up in this were several hotels, clubs, bars, restaurants, and Octavio Dotel, I believe, had four cars taken away by the Dominican police.
What?
Yeah.
Oh no.
Like, dude,
wow.
There's some things going on in the DR.
Dude, Luis Castillo, one of my favorite Marlins of all time. I caught a foul ball by Luis Castillo.
Would it change your view of him if he was caught up in one of the biggest,
I don't know,
drug rings in the Caribbean?
I'd have to know what his responsibility was.
Yeah, I mean,
what was his role? Like, is he a figurehead? Is he an ambassador? Or is he
an ambassador? Is he
smuggling? I need to know. Is he the mule? Or is he out there with like
if
a?
You getting arrested for that? You ain't a mule.
I have a feeling
does he have a pet panther? And is he on a throne with a, like, Scarface? Like, that's what? I mean, come on, man. I already had one champion from that team, Ugeth Urbina, have a whole thing with a machete and lighting a dude on fire, pouring gasoline on him. Already serving jail time for that. Don't take away Louis. Louis did it too. God, I hope that's not true.
I don't know.
I really don't. I gotta tell you, please don't be true.
All right, well, we'll find out.
I could see him slinging the product like he was flipping a double play to second base. I could see him just, you know, tossing the product.
Texas will know this, all right? You know, you guys can say whatever you want about the Marlins past. Few things in South Florida sports history were as beautiful as Luis Castillo and Alex Gonzalez turning a double play.
Correct.
Few things. Leroy?
As far as pure sports?
Just things in sports here that are just of beauty. Few things were as beautiful as Luis Castillo right and up, Alex Gonzalez turning a double play.
Right up there with Dwayne and LeBron alley-oop.
Yeah, right up there with Dwayne and LeBron alley-oop, or just a Chris Dan Marino pass.
Oh, yeah, to one of the Marx brothers.
But the Alex Gonzalez, Luis Castillo double play, mwah.
35-game hitting streak for Luis Castillo when he was in New Orleans.
2002, left on deck. Three-time All-Star, three-time Gold Glove. Dude, he's one of the best Marlins of all time. Honestly, like, if you're going to say of people who deserve their number retired, if anybody were to get that honor in Marlins history, not no more, he's got one of the best arguments out there. One of the best resumes, one of the best arguments.
Almost as good as a Kirby Freeman to Lance Leggett pass.
No, sorry. That doesn't belong.
Really?
Was that who he completed the pass to when he went 1-for-14
yes,
in the Orange Bowl game?
Well, no, I don't know if... During that game, Lance, I was standing on the, I was doing the sidelines. Lance Leggett ducked away from the pass. Like, literally was like, no, sorry. Not even, it was on the sideline. Wasn't even over the middle. He was just standing on the sideline, and there was a defender right on him, and he just moved away like, no, nah, I don't want no part of this. I'm good.
Kind of with the texture, I was just like, I don't know, as long as he wasn't killing people.
You know what? I kind of agree.
Yeah, but like,
there's no bodies.
What if he's not killing people, but he's like a, what if he's like a Don and he's just having people kill people?
Hey, man. Nah. Do you realize that usually drug rings or trafficking usually entail a lot of the other stuff?
Doesn't he have a huge family? What if he was just like the celebrity guy that, you know, hey, just to bring in customers?
You know, Robin Hood's not real, right?
Couldn't he have gotten a timeshare or invest in some real estate? Isn't he so rich? Didn't Castillo get like a $40 million contract?
Some guys, you know. I mean, maybe it's not
why
true.
Is he bankrolling, allegedly bankrolling, or why is he tied to this?
Because 50 million's more than 40 million. Like, people don't, like, think like that. Why, like, Bernie Madoff, wasn't a billion enough?
There wasn't some Netflix he could invest in?
Right, but that's my point, is that, like, you get to a point where it's never enough.
Isn't there, like, a Dominican Hulu he could have been a part of or something? I don't know, one would think. Yesterday it was made official that the Canes and Gators will play in 2024 and 2025. That, of course, was supposed to be a big press conference and a huge party, but Brett McMurphy broke the story 3 days earlier, so it wasn't. It was just a press release.
I have a question for you guys.
Yeah. Yep.
If I make you Ezekiel Elliott and you see Jalen Smith just get $36 million guaranteed.
Yeah, you're pretty peeved.
How you feeling?
Can I ask you a question? Was that on the TV? Is that what that is?
It was.
That's what it was.
You need to make that a little bit louder.
Yeah, that needs to be louder. That's the Leroy sound for when he just gets
whenever
distracted.
Leroy gets distracted by a topic that intrigues him on Good Morning Football.
Wait. I really wanted to hit you with the Carly Lloyd hitting that field goal.
Whoa. Dude.
Yeah, that she's was got so impressive.
Yeah, if you miss
she's
it,
got
Carly
a
Lloyd knocked him consistent from 40 yesterday at Eagles practice and then drilled one from 55.
How many tweets did the Bears get yesterday about signing Carly Lloyd? Because she, I mean, that was impressive.
Yeah, but one small problem.
Yep.
Okay.
She's not in pads.
No. Has nothing to do with that.
Yep.
She was getting like a 7-yard start.
Whatever. Okay, let me ask you a question.
Huh.
Honestly.
Yep.
You don't think if she worked at it that she could easily kick a field goal in an NFL game?
It has to do with – no, she could. No, yeah. I'm not saying she couldn't. I'm saying she made a 55-yarder, but it was a kickoff.
No, but she was also making 40-yarders routinely.
Okay.
And she did this in Hard Knocks a couple years ago against Vince Wilfork with the Texans. She had a back-and-forth field goal kicking battle with Vince Wilfork.
Which – what's awesome. More of an upset? Carly Lloyd making field goals?
No, it's both.
Or Vince, big Vince.
Let me tell you what.
Oh, it's one of the crazy. When I saw Vince Wilfork ball out in
how about basketball?
It was
Vince
crazy.
Is an athlete.
Well, yeah.
Power belly.
Yeah.
All right.
But you know what's crazy about the Jerry with that whole thing? Did you hear Jerry Jones saying like I've earned the right to make jokes about it? Because Zeke got apparently. I think it was after the preseason game. Jerry Jones does a lot of press conferences, man. I mean, he does a lot for an owner. It's pretty wild. He loves him some microphones.
Mm-hmm.
But he was I guess one of the backup running backs had a good game, or the guy who's filling in for Zeke had a good game, and so he just threw out a little Zeke who in the post game, and apparently Zeke's agent and Zeke found this very disrespectful.
Oh, they got their feels.
Yeah, so he's just making a little crack. So. That was fine. I thought, all right, whatever. They didn't find it funny. He was doing a joke. But then I found this weird. Robbie, can you get Jerry Jones where he's saying, like, I've earned the right to make jokes? I just found it. It was kind of one of those things where it's like, oh, all right. He's like, I'll do funny until you guys think I'm not funny. It was weird rich guy stuff.
Zeke Sagan expressed unhappiness with the Zeke joke. Have you talked to them at all since then? And any response?
That guy sound like OJ.
Look, I've earned the right with Zeke to joke. Period.
Right.
I've earned it.
So, have you guys had any conversations since then at all?
No. No. Okay. But let me be real clear about it. I've earned that right to joke.
What does that mean?
That seems a little,
What does that mean?
Seems a little...
I don't know. I guess it's his own way of saying me and Zeke's relationship is such that
it seemed a little harsher than that.
That.
Like, I got one on Zeke.
Yeah, it kind of does. Like,
because
you know what? Like,
I just look at it. He thought, like, look, me and Zeke's relationship is fine. That I can.
No. A lot of people were reading it this way. Listen, I got the goods on him, so I can say what I want.
Really?
Yeah.
I get that too, man.
Like, I never thought that.
Robbie, play it again.
Here's why, Leroy. This is why I would say that, because he is in a spot right where it's like, if that was the case, he'd just be like, I was just kidding.
But that's not.
But he's like, I've earned the. It's such a weird way to word it.
It's a weird way to word it. But I just took it as he was saying, yo, me and his. For example, we always mess with Beast,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
But our relationship is such that if somebody gets offended on the text line, I'm like, yo, you just don't. We got it like that.
Yeah, yeah.
I think that's where
No. If
from.
You listen to this, the tone is completely different. This is not like a playful. This is, there's something there, I feel like.
Zeke Sagan expressed unhappiness with the Zeke joke. Have you talked to them at all since then? And any response to that at all?
Look. I've earned the right with Zeke to joke. Period.
Right.
I've earned it.
So, have you guys had any conversations since then at all?
No. No. Okay. But let me be real clear about it. I've earned that right to joke.
Listen to his voice, man.
I just think it's a weird way to say things.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, if I were to say, if I were to say something that offended you, I wouldn't say, oh, come on, Leroy, I've earned the right. We've known each other a long time.
No. But
if you don't find something funny, you don't find something funny.
But here, I think when you hear the original comment, if you take it as a knock on Zeke,
right,
then from that point forward, any of his comments after that are going to be taken a certain way.
Well, that gets the Baker Mayfield stuff.
Right.
When I read the Zeke thing, I thought it was disrespectful. But when I heard it, I was like, oh, he's just kidding.
Okay, so when they go back to Zeke, maybe they just tell him what he said, and he didn't hear the context of it.
I don't know.
You see what I mean? So like, yeah, I don't know. Come on, man. I don't.
But, like, if I were Jerry Jones, if I was Jerry Jones, I feel like I would say, I hope he knows I was just kidding. I was just messing around.
Of course,
I wouldn't say something like that.
Here's Jerry Jones and the thing. I'm getting ready to make you one of the highest paid running backs in the league.
Well, that's kind of my, that's why I think it's over the top. We're just like, well, hey, man, listen, I'm taking care of you. I can make whatever jokes I want.
Well, no.
I wouldn't. That's kind of what it comes across as, though.
Man,
it does.
Like, can I ask? I'm black.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't even go there.
I'm not going there.
You are.
I'm not, though.
You are. Like,
it's not like.
Please, white people.
It's not an owner player.
Stop thing. Telling me what offends me.
No, it's not. But like,
but that's
I'm not going. Like, it's,
that's where I get the feeling you're going.
No, that's not where I'm going. I'm going like. Zeke did something. There's something
no,
about the
why are you reading more than this than it is?
Because he says
you're asking me. You're asking me not to go racial on it, but you're going to a whole different level too.
It's just the way he says it. He's like, let me be clear.
Again, you're asking me not to go where I'm going, but then you're going to a place also.
Listen, as a white guy, it made me uncomfortable. All right.
All right.
Made me uncomfortable.
All right. All right. Somebody said, I'm taking it as I stood by Zeke with all his legal troubles.
Yeah.
And I'm still going to pay him.
Yeah.
I can see that. I'm like,
but
hey, wait a minute.
Even that I find a weird thing to say.
Why? Because after all this guy's been through.
Because if a guy just didn't find your joke funny, my response isn't to, well, why don't you find my jokes funny? If my friend or if a person I have a close relationship didn't find something I said funny or found it disrespectful,
right.
As somebody who has a close relationship with somebody, I wouldn't defend myself. I would be like, oh, then I bleeped up.
Well, because he's elitist. Because
he's a creep.
Right.
He's a creep.
So he's thinking, hey, I just pay him and we'll be past it.
Texter writes in 67974. Leroy is black?
Yep.
And now it's time for wise words from the Dolphins head coach, Brian Flores. It's time for philosophy.
You know, the whole sink or swim mentality, it's easy for somebody on the outside to say, but, you know, for that individual player and the best interest of that individual person, that might not be the case. And for those who aren't, you know, in the trenches and dealing with the day-to-day, they wouldn't understand that.
This is hard luck life.
Look, bad plays happen. So we've got to stay even. We can't get too high, can't get too low. You want, you know, your players at all positions. Good play, bad play, move on to the next play.
Big. Spend it in cheese. Philosophy.
Ready, B?
Welcome back, everybody. Let's go get him. It's Tobin, Leroy, and Beast.
Of course, Robbie's going to just...
We're going to play 8 Jay-Z songs in a row, just like Brian Flores.
Hey, yeah. So...
That was a thing yesterday.
Yep.
So...
That was a thing yesterday.
I've come to a new conclusion with this Jerry Jones thing.
Okay.
We're trying to...
No.
I know.
I wanted to finish...
But I think what Jerry Jones is saying is, like, who's been more supportive of Zeke than him?
Mm. Right.
So... If he tells a joke, it's coming from a good place.
Mm. I know. And even, but I even find that weird.
I'm not buying it, man.
I find that weird too. I just find it a weird, it's very defensive of Jerry Jones. Like if somebody finds something not funny, all right, be like, oh, I'm sorry, man. I'm sorry you didn't find that funny. That's it.
Even with the people in front of him laughing?
Yeah, because something's funny to a lot of people, if it's at the expense of somebody else and they didn't find something funny, you're like, okay, sorry, it's a miss.
Kind of like your English accent with the struts.
I don't understand that. They were laughing at me in that situation.
And they also did other things other than laugh, too. Which,
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Man, I don't know what it is about the curse button. It has to be activated anytime Tobin has people on.
I don't know what to tell you, man. I don't know what to tell you. So, yeah, yesterday, a lot of things happened with the Dolphins, but this is the most unsolved of everything right now. So Brian Flores, we played you guys yesterday, Kenny Stills, calling out Jay-Z, basically in that he didn't appreciate his comments about the Colin Kaepernick movement and that we've moved past kneeling and all that. And Kenny was well thought out, as he normally is. He was like, you know, he was even like, listen, I'm not going to rip the Jay-Z move of him being with the NFL. I don't know yet. I want to see what job he does. But yesterday... Brian Flores played 8 Jay-Z songs to start practice yesterday. And people are wondering why. Now, apparently, this is according to Barry Jackson. This is what the team tells him. That Flores picks the songs for practice, so it's his choice. And that Stills knew in advance that Flores was going to do that. If that's true. Oh, and the team also wanted to let people know that he wasn't trying to disrespect Stills. So, I'm assuming he's speaking today, right? Or is he not going to speak because it's the day before a game?
Yeah, I don't think there's no press availability today.
He might not then. But if that is the case, and we're only getting the team side of that on that, and apparently Kenny wasn't really available yesterday.
Well, what happened is while Kenny was at his locker, they made the quarterbacks available, so all the media jumped on
right.
the QBs.
So... I kind of just think he's joking. Like, isn't that just him playing a joke and he's letting Kenny in on it? I don't know if Kenny found it funny. We don't know. But I kind of feel like that's just the coach playing a joke.
You understand what profession they're in? Like, if that is going to get and understand how Kenny Stills has handled himself throughout all this. He seems like an even-keel guy to the point where that wouldn't bother him. why should playing Jay-Z songs bother him? It's not like, you know, Brian Flores has ever come out and made statements on either side of this. You know what I mean? They ask him, he just moves on. So why would...
There was a lot of people yesterday basically trying to make the insinuation that Brian Flores was trying to get under Kenny Stills' skin yesterday.
Really?
I don't think that's his case.
I don't think that's the case yesterday, but that was a thing on the Twitter yesterday.
Why are we coming to these ridiculous... You got people out there that can only watch 10 minutes of practice.
Right.
So they go out there, they hear Jay-Z songs, and they're like, oh, I gotta write about it. No, look, man. Like, it could be just... Who cares? Like, Kenny Stills is not the guy that's going to overreact to something like that.
Well, yeah, like, I found all the secrecy around it weird when everybody was like, well, we don't know why Flores did this. And I kind of was like, well, Jay-Z makes good music and it's funny. Like, isn't it? Like, you have all this controversy surrounding your wide receiver. You're like, no, we don't have a problem with Jay-Z here. We're going to play some music. You know?
Did
Kenny still say he was going to stop listening to Jay-Z?
No.
Did he say that at a press conference?
But that's my point. Is like, are we like, this is a bit like much. We're looking for something that's not there, right? Just let it, like.
Some of the people were like, Stephen Ross sent in the call.
Right. Look at where we're going with
this. This is what was going on Twitter
You think Stephen Ross knows a Jay-Z song?
Everybody knows a Jay-Z song.
Who doesn't know 99 Problems? It's a hard knock.
He's definitely dropped a 99 Problems.
Oh yeah, no doubt.
Definitely.
Oh, Robbie, right, 12 Problems.
that's needs different than Problems.
It's true.
So this is a sample of what was going on Twitter. So our boy Riz, who writes for the New Times, says, beyond it being a stupid thing to do, I'm just so puzzled by why you would even do anything. He told Stills, he's talking about Flores, to shut up recently. Then the Jay-Z thing happened. I think he sent in a message to him to shut up again, which is a bleep move. Then Andrew Abramson, who used to write for the Sentinel and the Palm Beach Post, writes, typical Pat's power play, chain of command, but Flores will learn quickly this isn't New England. So that was like a sample of
But here's the thing.
This is where we win.
First of all, he didn't tell him to shut up. What he told him was, I wished that he had taken his concerns to Stephen Ross not to Twitter, which Kenny Stills agreed with, by the way. You know, in the hindsight of it all, he said, yeah, I probably should have just gone and spoke to my owner. Now, the Twitter stuff got more attention and seemingly has had a lot more ramifications because Stephen Ross is now off this player committee, whether he left or he was convinced to leave by Chris Long and all the people who are part of this. But he didn't tell him to shut up. He just told him what a lot of coaches would say, which is, I don't want any distractions, because that's what is there anything coaches hate more than distractions or things they think are distractions?
Is
there anything?
Anything that takes away from getting ready for a game or a season or whatever.
Yeah.
Like, no matter how trivial it is. But the problem here is that there is no problem.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if you are an NFL player and you have a problem with the music selected in practice.
Right.
You know what a coach would say? A coach would say, okay, no more practice music.
Yeah, did Philbin used to pick the music?
Did they have music? We didn't have music. We had crowd noise.
Oh, that's annoying.
Right.
That's annoying. But no, you know what I think it is? I honestly think this is. I think it's a syndrome of Dolphin fans, because they're just used to everything being a disaster and used to everything being an embarrassment, that they just have this filter of, this is embarrassing.
But
we're playing Jay-Z songs.
But that's the people that are reporting. Like, okay. I don't think anybody on that team thought it was that big of a deal. They probably laughed, or somebody said, oh, look at this. Funny, ha-ha. Move on, we go practice.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the people at the practice that get limited amounts of time to see them, because I guess now they don't get to watch practice now, right?
They get to watch a limited amount. I think they get
30 minutes.
Right. So they watch 30 minutes, enough to hear the six songs.
Right.
What are you going to write about? Oh, let's write about the music that was played. Like, man, come on. Like, I'm not buying it.
Listen. It started out as just a couple of tweets. Hey, they're playing Jay-Z. It's kind of a funny thing with, you know, Kenny Stills out there. And then the whole Stephen Ross thing happened. And then there was a whole day of, like, upheaval. And then they wrote a story.
Again.
So, again, the story wasn't written just about Jay-Z songs.
But to me, this is just
man,
one of,
what are we doing?
This kind of goes to me like it's one of us. It's us from the outside looking at this and saying we have to make it a thing.
Yes.
Where it's just Flores is just.
Yes.
At this point, he knows that. First of all, everybody knows that Kenny Stills had to say what he had to say about Jay-Z yesterday because he did a 15-minute press conference about it where he was asked no football questions, only Jay-Z questions. Okay. So everybody knows in the locker room that it's a thing. So what do you do to kind of lighten it up? You play Jay-Z music the next day. It's funny.
Correct.
But you can't, like, but again, look at where everybody ran with that.
Now, Flores better not come out and say that he's earned the right to play HJZ songs. He better not do that. If Kenny still finds it disrespectful.
Come on, man. The things that have happened and what Kenny Stills has done in the last 3 or 4 years, right? You think that's going to bother him?
No.
Okay.
No.
Like, so.
I think that's why if the coach told him, hey, I'm doing this, if Kenny Stills thought it was actually a problem, he wouldn't have done it.
Right.
I'm just doing something to goof around.
Well, okay. So my point is why is everybody writing like this a big deal?
Know.
Okay. That's.
I think around this team, because it has had everything from Bullygate to coaches doing white powdery substances and sending videos. And
oh, no, it wasn't white powdery substances. You called it what it was.
The owner flying across the country to get a coach while he had a coach. And just all the stuff they've bumbled.
Awkwardness.
You just expect the worst. You immediately jump to it.
You also expect the worst when all you read is the worst.
Mm-hmm.
Like, so that situation, when people start talking about that situation, like, okay, for the same reason why all of the media in Dallas laughed at the Zeke comment, all the media here went negative Nancy on the situation where everybody in the building maybe got a chuckle out of it.
Yeah.
So, like, yeah, man. Like, if this is what the story is for that team, I think it's a good thing. We're not talking about offensive line. We're not talking about the quarterback situation. You literally, as a writer or reporter or somebody that is there to talk about the Dolphins, you found it more important not to talk about the quarterback battle, but to talk about 6 Jay-Z songs played. Think about that.
Ira Winneman from the Sun Sentinel. He's going to join us next. Storm season has arrived, and once again, 7-9 Ticket is combining with the team at Local 10 to bring you extensive coverage from watch to warn to landfall to recovery. Keep it tuned to the Ticket this hurricane season for up-to-the-minute news and tips should a hurricane approach. Our coverage on the Ticket is sponsored by BNT Services, protecting you with PGT Impact windows and doors. Be informed during this hurricane season from Local 10, AM 790, FM 104.3, HD2, The Ticket. I'm not understanding the Rocky theme. Robbie, usually
I promise you, you're gonna get the song.
You and I are usually in lockstep with this.
It has to do with the little soundbite.
All right. So, Ira Winneman joins us on the Orion Fuels and Downstairs Convenience Stores guest line. Truly steps beyond convenient. Ira, good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Ira.
I'm doing good. I'm trying to figure out the intro music also.
I am too. I have this soundbite that I want to play for you. Yesterday, Royce White, former Houston Rockets pick, he went on this impassioned rant, and we haven't played this yet today, but this impassioned rant on why Carmelo Anthony is being blackballed by the NBA. So I'll share this with the audience and with you, and you give me your thoughts on what he had to say.
Okay. Melo is absolutely being blackballed. He's one of those dudes that, you know, he ain't like me. He don't talk like brash and straightforward like that, but he has those morals and principles, you know? And he's given too much to the game for them not to allow him to play or for them to, you know, kind of culturally just make a decision or an agreement that he's not good enough anymore. All of us here that play the game at the highest level know how good Melo is, and we know that there's no way that the Lakers would go out and sign Jared Dudley and not sign Carmelo Anthony? And another question is, while a guy like LeBron is walking around here like he's the face and voice of the players, how is he letting his banana boat brother hang out there in the wings and they go sign Jared Dudley and not Carmelo? If anybody watching this thinks that Jared Dudley can hold Carmelo's jock strap, I'll slap you.
Jesus.
Wow.
What do you make of the Carmelo thing, Ira? Like, why does this seem to be such a thing for so many guys in the league not understanding why he's not being picked up? Like, it seems pretty obvious that he's a tremendous talent and he's always been thought of as a talented guy, but he also has not been the most, open to adjusting his role as his career has continued to go on. Like, why do you think this is such a sticking point for some guys?
Well, I think number one, you know, there's two points here. The point you raise is legitimate. I think in the NBA, I know it's not an actual position, but I think being an eighth man, a ninth man, or a tenth man is something you have to accept, and the team wants to know that going in. We know the way it went south, whether it was Oklahoma City or then in Houston with Carmelo Anthony, is he still views himself as a leading man. The players who can make that transition. I mean, Jared Dudley, like basically a season after he entered the NBA, said, okay, I could be your eighth or ninth man. You want that kind of guy. You don't need constant controversy through the season. So I think that's a point for a lot of teams who are saying, yeah, Carmelo might help us, but not as a starter. Maybe not even as a rotation guy, but as a plug-and-play emergency guy, number one. Number two, I find it interesting. Royce White is playing for the Big Three. As we know, it's sort of become the league of the bitter ex-player who can't get back in. We heard Reggie Evans a week ago talking about, you know, don't talk to me about the NBA. I don't want to hear about those guys. They're shutting us out. So I think there's a certain feeling from a lot of guys, whoa, if this can happen to Carmelo Anthony, it can happen to any of us. But I do agree with one thing, what he said about LeBron, and not as much about Jared Dudley, but this. The Lakers are holding tryouts right now for a replacement center for DeMarcus Cousins. Obviously, has the knee injury. They're kind of in trouble in the middle. They're talking not only about Dwight Howard coming in for an audition, but Joakim Noah coming in for an audition. Marcin Gortat coming in for audition. Maurice Spates coming in for an audition. I think when you look at that, even I do wonder, wow, they're going to those depths to get a big man but won't consider Carmelo. So either there is part B of Carmelo that teams aren't talking about, something out there that we just don't know, or else it really is interesting. I think teams are saying this. We'll deal with a headache for a starter. We'll deal with a headache for a rotation player. We won't deal with a headache for an eighth, ninth, or tenth man. So maybe it's a little 50-50. But, guys, it is odd. I find it hard to believe that Carmelo Anthony, simply by sitting out 1 year, has become a terrible player.
Yeah, it is. It is a strange thing. But it's,
I
know terrible.
He hasn't been good in a while.
Yeah, exactly.
But he hasn't been awful also. What I'm saying is this. If we were to have our NBA fantasy draft and draft every player, you would reach some guys where even you would say to yourself, Leroy, wait a minute, that guy's still in the NBA? I probably would pick Carmelo Anthony ahead of him. I just think that's what it comes down to. I mean, let's go on a stretch here and talk about the Heat. And if you're saying you're going to start Bam Adebayo and Kelly Olynyk and then maybe go with Jimmy Butler, Goran, and Deion Waiters, then you say to yourself, okay, but the next two guys off the bench have to be Winslow and James Johnson, and we want to play our rookie Tyler Hero. So then you're going to Carmelo Anthony and saying to him, do you want to be our ninth man? I think that's a little bit humbling for Carmelo. I think he would at least swallow hard, take a few deep breaths, and to me as a GM, that would be telling that that's not the right fit. So even for people who ask me, would Carmelo make the Heat better? I say, yeah, but it would be as a ninth man. I think that's a hard reality for him to accept. I think Carmelo needs to get out there in front of this also and say something. Carmelo, are you willing to be a tenth man? Are you willing to be a bit player? Are you willing to come off the bench? It's been really interesting. Everyone's been talking about Carmelo, but from Carmelo, there's just been crickets.
Right. I think that's the whole thing with Carmelo is that didn't he pretty much say, hey, I'm not a bench guy? When this all started, when he started getting moved around a lot, he says, hey, I'm not that guy. Mm-hmm. So until he acknowledges that he's ready to play that role, why would anybody deal with that?
And that's exactly the thing. We need to hear Carmelo. We're hearing everyone talking about Carmelo. It would seem to me, Leroy, if you are desperate to get back in, you do everything and anything. I'll give you the example. Vince Carter has played for 97 different teams. He just wants to play. He's going to an Atlanta team with great young players. He went through several stretches last year where he didn't play at all. The year before in Sacramento, he didn't play. That's fine with him. I know if I signed Vince Carter, if he was available for the Heat, he could be a 10th man for me and play that sort of Dwayne Wade open in case of emergency role, so I know what I'm getting with Vince Carter and some of these older players who keep coming back for one more. Another example, I know this is a stretch, Udonis Haslem is willing to be the 15th man. Everything we heard from Udonis when he came back, if you notice this year, guys, he really tempered his comments about whether he could still play, whether he could still give you a double-double. When he was re-signed by the Heat, he said all the right things, including, I'll lead in the locker room. Jimmy Butler's going to lead on the court. You don't hear that from Carmelo. You guys know this. You can deal with headaches from a starter, an elite player. The NBA certainly does. You don't need the headache in the NBA with your 15th man, in the NFL with your 50th man. I think what Carmelo has to do is how desperate is he to get back in the game? Does he really want to? Or maybe it's like he's been saying. He doesn't want a farewell tour. He wants to play. If I look at him in the Heat, I'm telling him ninth man or nothing. I want to know if he can accept that reality.
All right. So I want to go to what you have in your latest Ask Ira. Where the hell is Jimmy Butler? What the hell, man?
How much of Europe can you see? Yeah, it's like enough of the world. It's fascinating. Again, just remember, the guy signed on June 30th, agreed to terms on June 30th. On July 6th, the first day he could sign, he signed his contract. Had a media conference call at 11:30 that night, left for Paris from MIA later that night, has been gone since. It's to the point now where if the Heat introduce Jimmy Butler, it's probably going to come in the middle of the NFL season, let alone the college season. They're going to sort of lose that little boost that teams like to get from having that moment. And I do think he needs to bond with his teammates. Like I wrote today in Ask Ira, you can't show up at training camp and all of a sudden develop a chemistry, especially a guy like Jimmy Butler who really goes through the entire emotional spectrum. I need to know this guy. I need to know if he's a little bit off, if he's a little bit different. We saw the whole scene in Minnesota with Thibodeau and storming into an informal practice and then storming out after scoring a basket. Look, if he comes back by September, I'm fine. I think just like an NFL player can disappear for all of March, no one's going to say anything. But I think you reach a certain point where you want to know. I need to hear that Jimmy Butler, out of nowhere, has shown up at American Airlines Arena and is bonding with his new teammates, because camp opens the last week of September, and the NBA camp is 4 days, and all of a sudden you're playing your first exhibition right away.
All right, we'll wrap up with this. Now, how can I say this? When it comes to Heat rumors, I'm a sick person. All right.
I'll
follow any egg. I'll follow any silhouette, whatever it takes.
Okay.
I track down Pat Riley's old Twitter accounts, whatever rabbit hole I got to go down. It doesn't matter. I believe anything. So when I see Twitter fodder this weekend, we talked about the Bam thing last week, that Bam was let go for non-basketball reasons. And some guy who has a Pat Riley on a Tom and Jerry logo emoji is telling me that it was because Bam was too childish and may or may not have gotten into a fight. Is there anything to that, or am I just a sick person and there's nothing to it?
Think about the timing of when Bam was released. It was after he played in an exhibition game in the scrimmage game. You are not going to put a guy who you consider a bad seed or a bad apple in that situation and then cut him right after. So I find that hard to believe. And look at the timing also. He was cut at the same time as Thaddeus Young, who's known as a longtime good guy veteran. After that scrimmage in Vegas, Greg Popovich said, we have a bit too much, especially when it comes to hype or letting guys go. If you want to make a statement or do something, you do that before the scrimmage. You don't have an issue with a player and say, go ahead, suit up, and then after the game, after you play him, saying, we're making cuts and you and this other really good guy are cut. I don't buy into that. I know that Bam was really, really, I guess I put the word frustrated, because he showed up at the Big Three next day. He usually always talks to us, and he didn't want to talk. He wanted to make that team. I believe he gave it his all. If the personalities did clash, again, it's like what we said with Carmelo. If you're going to be a 12th man or 14th man, you know, on the U.S. Olympic team in tryouts, they're probably not going to put up with that, but I find that hard to believe. There were too many good NBA sort of news breakers bookmakers out there who would have had more on the story from Mark Stein or Wojnarowski or Shams or someone like that. This is where everything in August in the NBA takes on a life of its own. We need to talk more about Dwight Howard and Carmelo Anthony. I'm not buying this one.
Oh my God. I'm so like, if you show me one more story about the Lakers center, I just, nothing will get me moved from the channel faster. Like, I don't care. All right. Thanks for the time, man. Really appreciate it.
Hey, as long as we can talk about Joakim Noah. Thanks, guys.
Yeah.
By the way, Robbie, are you in there? Because you were behind. Okay, you were hiding. Do you want to explain? You came in with "Gonna Fly Now" as the intro song, and you're like, you'll know it's based on the soundbite that you play, which was Royce White. Do you want to explain yourself?
Well, it's pretty simple, actually. If you know the history of Royce White, when he first got drafted by the NBA. He had a little bit of a problem that he was afraid of flying.
Minus one. I mean, even for you.
Minus one.
That is.
I do remember he wanted to take a bus.
I know the story.
No, he's not afraid of flying. He wouldn't fly.
He would not fly.
I know. But it's the stretchiest of stretches.
We don't have Fly Like an Eagle in the system.
The stretchiest.
Minus one.
Get
your
headlines next.